Hello, my name is Jeffrey Weaver. We're going to be talking about using chlorophyll fluorescence data to model efficient lighting strategies for lettuce. Okay, so we're going to be talking about supplemental lighting in greenhouses. Recently, supplemental lighting in greenhouses has been shifting to being light-emitting diodes, LEDs, instead of other types of lights. And I'm sure we're all familiar with some of the advantages of LEDs. They're more energy efficient, produce less heat, can control the spectrum, you can place them within the canopy, but today I'm going to be specifically talking about the ability to control the light intensity, which is really a big advantage over other types of lights. So to control the intensity of LED lights, we use something called the adaptive lighting system. This system incorporates obviously an LED light fixture, also a quantum sensor, and a data logger. So the data logger controls the intensity of the lights based on the light reading of the quantum sensor. And the way that it works is it provides light up to but not exceeding a specified level. Okay? So just to give you a little illustration of how this works, there's plenty of sun right now. Lights don't need to be on. All of a sudden it becomes overcast. There's less light from the sun, and the lights will turn on automatically. Okay? So another illustration of the operation of the adaptive lighting system. This black dotted line represents light intensity measured in a greenhouse over the course of a day. So we're going to use this adaptive lighting system to provide light up to but not exceeding 200 micromoles per meter squared per second for 12 hours. And this is what it would look like. And this white line represents the relative amount of energy used by the LEDs to do this. So you can see it's using less energy to reach that target light level when there's enough being provided by the sun. So the objectives of this research: first of all, we're to describe the photochemical response to light for a romaine-type lettuce, green towers, to use this data to model efficient lighting strategies for this plant, and we're going to do this using adaptive lighting control. So we're going to use the familiar units of light, photosynthetic photon flux and daily light integral. To quantify photochemistry, we're going to be looking at the electron transport rate, which is measured in micromoles per meter squared per second. This is short for the rate of linear electron transport through photosystem 2. And it's an approximation of the rate of the photosynthetic light reactions. Now, these are the reactions that effectively convert light energy into photochemical energy in the form of NADPH and ATP. And these are used to drive the Calvin cycle. So, of course, this isn't the only thing that happens with light that reaches a leaf. While some of the light that's absorbed by a leaf is used for photochemistry, a significant portion is simply lost as heat, and a tiny fraction is re-emitted as fluorescence. And it's actually this small amount of light in the red part of the spectrum that we're measuring to quantify photochemistry. The main parameter that we get from this is called the quantum yield of photosystem 2, which is the proportion of absorbed light that is actually used for photochemistry. So now that we know the quantum yield, we calculate electron transport rate by simply multiplying it by the light intensity, a constant 0.5 that is an assumption that half of the absorbed photons go to photosystem 2 and the other half to photosystem 1, and another constant 0.84 that assumes that 84% of the absorbed light is of the 84% of the light that reaches a leaf is actually absorbed by the leaf. So our materials and methods: we used romaine type lettuce green towers, 15 plants. Measured these plants with a junior PAM fluorometer with an attached quantum sensor on the leaf clip to determine the quantum yield, photosynthetic photon flux, and electron transport rate. And we measured once every 15 minutes for 5 weeks in the greenhouse. This was done from seedling stage until head formation. And we changed the measured plant once every 48 hours. The environmental conditions: again, this was a glass-covered greenhouse in Athens, Georgia. This study took place from March 19th to April 22nd, 2015. The average relative humidity was 66.3 plus or minus 16.3%. Average temperature was 21.4 plus or minus 1.7 degrees Celsius. And the average daily light integral was 13.9 plus or minus 6.8 moles per meter squared per day. Okay, so looking at the results, this is all the data from all 35 days pulled together. And we can see that the quantum yield of photosystem 2 simply decreases as light intensity increases. And this is because at higher light levels, or this indicates, rather, that at higher light levels, light is simply being used less efficiently. Now, looking at electron transport rate, you can see it does increase with light intensity, but as light intensity gets higher and higher, the rate of increase in electron transport rate decreases. Okay? So this is an asymptotic rise to a maximum. The asymptote in this case is around 125 micromoles per meter squared per second. And if we take the light intensity at 90% of the asymptote, we can call this the effect of saturating photosynthetic photon flux, which in this case was about 852 micromoles. Okay, so basically what this indicates is that as light intensity increases, the light that reaches leaves is used less and less efficiently. And over a certain light level, any increase in light intensity is simply not going to lead to a further increase in photochemistry. And just to simply illustrate this, during the at very low light levels, the response of electron transport rate to light is essentially linear. And if it continued in this way, this is what it would look like, the straight line. But you can see that there's a big difference between this straight line and the actual curve. So that difference between the line on the top and the line on the bottom is essentially the amount of efficiency that you're losing by providing light at higher levels. Okay, so this light response can be described by this equation. As you can see, it's a very simple equation with only two coefficients. In this case, it's the asymptote of electron transport rate and the initial slope of electron transport rate. And these are both measured in micromoles of electrons per micromoles of photons. The number of electrons that get moved through photosystem 2, basically, per the quantity of light that is measured in photons that is absorbed by the leaf or reaches the leaf. And in this case, the asymptote was 125, and the initial slope was 0.336. And so for these simulations, we're going to estimate electron transport rate based on photosynthetic photon flux using this equation. Okay. We're also going to talk about the daily photochemical integral. This is basically analogous to the daily light integral. It's simply the total amount of photochemistry that takes place during a day. This was also an asymptotic rise with an asymptote around 3.3 moles per meter squared per day. Now, if we take the daily light integral that it takes to reach the 90% of the asymptote for daily photochemical integral, similar to what we did with electron transport rate, we get just under 18 moles per meter squared per day, which is really interesting because the Cornell recommendation for DLI for lettuce is 17 moles per meter squared per day, which is just barely off from what we get by estimating it in this manner. So for these simulations, we're going to go slightly below the asymptote, and we're going to use adaptive lighting to control to a consistent daily photochemical integral of 3 moles per meter squared per day. So, now, the relationship between daily photochemical integral and daily light integral is not as clear-cut as the relationship between electron transport rate and photosynthetic photon flux, and that's because of this, that's because light is used less efficiently at higher light levels, as we've already discussed. So, for example, this is another light distribution measured inside the greenhouse during the course of a day, and there's multiple ways that you could provide this same quantity of light to plants, including simply a straight line. Okay, we could have given the plants this same daily light integral by maintaining a constant light intensity for 12 hours. And that's what we're gonna do right now. Oh, not quite yet. We're also gonna talk about daily light use efficiency, which is simply the daily photochemical integral divided by the daily light integral. And that is measured in moles of electrons per moles of photons. Now, okay, so just as an example. Okay, in this example, we're going to achieve a daily light integral of 14 moles per meter squared per day with a constant light intensity of just over 300 micromoles per meter squared per second for 12 hours. This gives us a daily photochemical integral of 3.14. Okay, now if we extend the photo period and reach the same daily light integral in 16 hours instead, we do it at a lower light level. And the daily photochemical integral associated with this is higher, 3.46. Again, if we do this and drag it out to 20 hours to reach the same daily light integral, we get a even higher daily photochemical integral, 3.67. So you can see the daily light use efficiency increases as the photo period increases and the instantaneous light level decreases. Okay? So to look at the converse relationship here. If we were to provide light at a constant light intensity for 12 hours to reach a target daily photochemical integral of 3 moles, it would look like this, and it would take a daily light integral of 12.97. Now, to reach the same daily photochemical integral of 3 moles per meter squared per day in 16 hours would only require a daily light integral of 11.49. And to do it in 20 hours, we only needed a daily light integral of 10.81. So, again, the daily light in use efficiency decreases as the light intensity at which it is provided increases, and daily light use efficiency increases as the instantaneous light level decreases. So to look at how this might work in the greenhouse with sunlight in the way with an adaptive light system, I have some more simulations. This is another actual light distribution from inside the greenhouse. Now, the daily light integral here is 8.45, and the daily photochemical integral is 1.99. The daily light use efficiency is 0.24. So what we're going to do is find a constant supplemental light intensity that would be needed to reach 3 moles per meter squared per day. And what I mean by constant supplemental light intensity is the lights are simply on. There's no adaptive lighting. Okay, it turns out that would need to be about 140 micromoles, and it would result in a daily light integral of 14.34 with a daily light use efficiency of 0.21, well below the efficiency of sunlight alone. Now, going back to our sunlight distribution, we're going to look at how this might work using an adaptive lighting system to maintain a constant daily photochemical integral of 3 moles with 3 different photoperiods. So in the first scenario, we have 12 hours with a adaptive lighting threshold of 268 micromoles, and this results in a daily light use efficiency of 0.22. Similar to what I showed you before, if we extend the photoperiod, we end up with a lower daily light integral and a higher daily light use efficiency. And extending it to 20 hours, we end up with an even more efficient situation. So to compare these all side by side, the daily light use efficiency for the highest light level at 12 hours is 0.22. For a lower light intensity at 16 hours is 0.24. And for 20 hours at the lowest light intensity, we reach the highest daily light use efficiency of 0.25. So daily light use efficiency, again, increases as we extend the photoperiod and can thereby use a lower light level to reach the same daily photochemical integral. Just to look at how this translates into power usage, this is the approximate kilowatt hours per meter squared of growing area that would be needed to provide light at this level for this period of time. As you can see, it requires less and less power to provide the same amount of daily photochemical light to reach the same daily photochemical integral as we go to lower light levels. And comparing it to the approach where the lights were simply on for 12 hours, you can see this takes far more energy than the adaptive lighting scenarios. It's 15% less for the first, 32% less for the 16-hour scenario, and 38% less power consumption for the 20-hour scenario. So, in conclusion, daily photochemical integral could be used to control supplemental light intensity in a manner that accounts for photochemical efficiency. Adaptive lighting control can be used to provide light more efficiently than traditional approaches. And providing supplemental light to achieve the same daily photochemical integral or daily light integral with longer photoperiods and thereby lower instantaneous light levels results in the most efficient lighting scenarios. And I would like to thank our sponsors, and I have time for one, maybe two questions. Yes. We have conducted that study. I'm not showing the results today. We have conducted that study, yes. The question is, have we implemented this in real life? Basically, yes, we have. We saw similar dry weights between the treatments, but there were morphological effects. One more question? I do have the data on hand to calculate non-photochemical quenching. It simply wasn't really relevant to what we were doing in the study.